Welcome to our deep dive, and today we're going to be looking at butterflies.
Butterflies.
Specifically, how they move and what that means for protecting them.
Yeah, conservation.
Yeah. So we're going to be looking at a research article today.
Oh, cool.
The title is a little bit of a mouthful.
Okay.
It's called Long Distance Movements, Large Population Sizes, and Density-Dependent Dispersal in Three Threatened Butterfly Species.
Wow, that is a mouthful.
It is. But don't worry, we're going to break it all down.
Okay, good.
And by the end of this, you'll see it's actually really interesting stuff.
I bet.
So what's really cool about this research is that it's like challenging what we thought we knew about certain butterflies.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It turns out they're not as stay-at-home as we thought they were.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. And this has like huge implications for conservation.
I can see how that would be a big deal.
Yeah. So the study took place on this island in the Baltic Sea called Gotland.
Okay.
And it's like a butterfly paradise there.
Really?
Yeah, they have some of the highest populations of these endangered butterflies anywhere in the world.
Wow.
Yeah, so by learning about what's going on in Gotland,
yeah,
we can maybe figure out how to protect similar butterflies all around the world.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so the study focused on three specific types of butterfly.
Okay, which ones?
The marsh fritillary.
Okay.
The Apollo.
Yeah.
And the large blue.
Interesting. I've heard of the large blue.
Yeah. They're actually all globally endangered.
Oh, wow.
And they're part of the EU's Habitats Directive.
Which means?
Which is basically trying to protect them.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And each of these butterflies is really unique.
I bet.
Like, for example, did you know that the marsh fritillary caterpillars all live together in a silken web?
No, I did not.
Yeah. It's so cool. It's like a little butterfly commune.
Ah, neat.
And then the Apollo caterpillar is a super picky eater.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it only eats this one specific plant called sedum album.
Wow, so specialized.
Yeah, totally. And then the large blue, oh my gosh.
What about it?
So the large blue larvae, they actually trick ants into raising them.
No way, yeah. Seriously?
Yeah.
How does that even work?
Well, it's kind of complicated, but basically they use like chemical signals and stuff to make the ants think they're ant larvae.
That is incredible.
Yeah, it's a really fascinating example of a parasitic relationship.
Yeah. Definitely.
So, and understand why Gotland is such a good place for these butterflies.
Right.
We got to talk about the landscape a bit.
Okay.
So it's incredibly diverse.
Like how?
Well, they have old forests, meadows, this really unique type of limestone pavement called alvar.
Alvar. Okay.
Yeah. And for some reason, these butterflies just love it there.
Huh. So it's not just one type of habitat then?
No, definitely not. It seems like it's the variety that's key.
Makes sense.
So how the scientists actually did this research is they used this technique called capture mark recapture.
Okay.
So basically over several years, they caught thousands of butterflies.
Wow.
Marked them and then tracked where they went.
That sounds like a lot of work.
Oh, it's massive.
Mm-hmm.
They actually had almost 30,000 captures.
Wow. 30,000 butterflies.
Yeah. And then they used all kinds of sophisticated math models to analyze all that data.
So what did they learn from all that data?
Well, a lot, actually.
Okay.
But I think the most surprising thing was they found out these butterflies can travel way farther than anyone thought.
Really? Like, how far are we talking?
So the marsh fritillary, they tracked it going a maximum distance of 7.2 kilometers.
7.2 kilometers for a butterfly.
I know. It's crazy. It's like running multiple marathons.
Yeah, that's incredible.
And the Apollo wasn't that far behind at 6.4 kilometers.
Okay, so they're both pretty impressive.
Yeah, and even the large blue, which everyone thought was super sedentary, even at managed to go 2.5 kilometers.
Wow. So even the homebodies get around.
They do. But the question is why?
Yeah, good question.
Like what's making them travel all these distances? Is it to find food or mates? Hmm. Or maybe because it changes in the environment?
Yeah, those are all good possibilities.
Definitely. And that's something we're going to delve into more deeply a little later. But another really cool finding was that how crowded an area is actually affects how the butterflies move.
Wait, so you're saying like the number of butterflies in a place influences their movement?
Exactly. It's called density.
Okay.
And the study showed that butterflies are more likely to leave crowded areas.
So it's like a butterfly traffic jam?
Pretty much. Too many butterflies in one spot and they decide to spread out.
Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And they also found the opposite.
Which is?
That butterflies are less likely to go to a place that's already full of other butterflies.
I guess that makes sense if you think about it.
Yeah, totally. I mean, they need resources like nectar and space.
Right.
So if a spot gets too crowded, they're going to look for somewhere better.
It all comes down to competition, I guess.
Exactly. Just like with any other creature, they're going to move to improve their chances of survival.
Makes sense.
And speaking of differences between butterflies.
Yeah.
The study also found that males and females actually move differently.
Oh, really? How so?
Well, females tend to stick to one area more.
Huh. I wonder why.
The researchers think it's probably because they need to find good places to lay their eggs.
Oh, yeah. To make sure their babies have the best chance.
Exactly. They're all about finding the perfect butterfly nursery.
Okay. That makes sense. What about the males, though? Why are they more on the move?
Well, think about it from an evolutionary perspective.
Okay.
What would be the advantage of males moving around more?
I guess it would increase their chances of finding mates.
Exactly. It's like they're on a constant quest for love.
A butterfly bachelor party, cruising around, looking for a good time.
Yeah, something like that. It's like a butterfly bar crawl.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've got these crazy findings about how butterflies move.
Right.
But, like, what does it all mean for conservation efforts?
Well, I think the biggest takeaway is that we need to think bigger.
Bigger, like how?
Well, we can't just assume these butterflies will stay put.
Right.
Especially now that we know they can travel so far.
Yeah. A tiny reserve isn't going to cut it if a butterfly can fly 7 kilometers. Nice. So we need to create those connections between habitats.
Yeah, like butterfly highways.
Yeah, exactly.
So they can move freely and find the resources they need.
And this whole density thing?
Yeah.
That's a game changer, too.
It really is.
Like, we have to make sure there's enough habitat to support them.
Right.
But not so much that it gets overcrowded and they all want to leave.
Yeah, it's a delicate balance.
It is. But this research gives us the tools to actually manage that.
I see.
Like, maybe we can encourage landowners to create butterfly habitats.
Oh, yeah. That would be great.
Yeah. A win-win for everyone.
Definitely.
So this study was on Gotland, but can we apply this to, like, the rest of the world?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. That's kind of the beauty of science.
How so?
Well, we can take these findings and ask similar questions in different places.
I see.
Like, how do butterflies move in other habitats?
Right.
And how are they affected by things like, you know, human development or climate change?
So Gotland is kind of like a blueprint for conservation?
In a way, yeah. It's like a model for what's possible.
Yeah, it's like a little pocket of hope.
Yeah, exactly. And it shows what we can achieve when we really prioritize conservation.
Okay, so before we wrap things up,
yeah,
I want to leave our listeners with something to think about.
Okay, I like it.
So imagine you're a butterfly.
Okay.
Trying to survive in a world that's increasingly fragmented by human activity.
Yeah.
What would you need? What kind of world would allow you to thrive?
That's a good one.
And remember, this study showed that even butterflies that we thought were homebodies.
Right.
They can actually travel pretty far.
Yeah. Which means we might need to think beyond just protecting isolated areas.
Exactly.
Maybe we need to consider the entire landscape.
Yeah. So what can we do?
Right. What can we do?
As individuals and communities to make the world a better place for butterflies.
Well, there's actually a lot we can do.
Like what?
You could join a local butterfly monitoring program.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Or plant a butterfly garden in your backyard.
Even small actions can make a difference.
Exactly. Every little bit helps.
Yeah. It's amazing to think that just planting a few flowers could, like, help these incredible creatures.
It really shows you how connected everything is. Like, what we do, even in our own little spaces, can impact the whole ecosystem.
It's true. And it reminds us that, like, we all have a responsibility when it comes to conservation.
Yeah, definitely. It's not just up to the scientists or the government or whoever.
We can all play a part in making the world a better place for butterflies.
Absolutely. And it all comes back to, like, understanding these creatures better.
Right. If we can figure out how they thrive in places like Gotland.
Yeah.
We can use that knowledge to protect butterflies all around the world.
That's the goal, right?
Exactly.
So if these butterfly populations are doing so well in this specific spot.
Yeah.
What lessons can we learn from that?
Yeah. What can we take away and apply to other species in other parts of the world? I think the biggest lesson is that butterflies need space.
Space to move around.
Yeah. And they need connections between habitats.
Like those butterfly highways you were talking about.
Yeah, exactly. They need to be able to move freely and find the resources they need.
And it's not just about protecting, like, isolated areas.
Right. We need to think about the whole landscape.
Yeah, the bigger picture.
And maybe most importantly,
yeah,
we need to change the way we view butterflies.
How so?
Well, instead of seeing them as these, like, delicate little things.
Right.
We need to see them as resilient travelers.
Yeah.
Capable of, like, amazing journeys.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
They're adaptable and they can survive even in a world that's, you know, increasingly challenging for them.
Yeah, and that's kind of inspiring, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It gives me hope.
Me too.
like even in the face of all these problems.
Climate change, habitat loss, all that.
Yeah. There's still beauty and resilience out there.
Yeah. And it just shows how important it is to keep learning and to keep questioning what we think we know.
And to work together to find solutions.
Absolutely.
So I don't know about you, but this deep dive has definitely given me like a whole new appreciation for butterflies.
Me too. It's been really fascinating learning about all this.
Yeah, it's been great. And thanks to our listeners for joining us on this journey.
To the world of butterflies.
Exactly. We hope you learned something new.
And maybe even feel inspired to take action.
Yeah, even if it's just a small thing.
Every little bit counts.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep those butterfly wings flapping.
Bye, everyone.